Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
All right, hunky sunk.
Oh, it's quite powerful, quite resigned, yeah. Quite sort of world weary.
I'm here, and I mean business this time.
When you say business, do you literally mean business, like CEO of a large company?
Or... yeah, if need be. Yeah. If Athletic Women's has become a large company since the last time we did one, then yes.
Do you have?
I regard myself as the CEO.
Do you have a favourite large company? I mean, large company.
The largest one I can think of that I'm.
No,
really
no, I didn't
into.
Ask you what you got. All right, sorry. Yep.
Please, let me finish. The largest one I can think of that I'm into. Netto.
You really like Netto?
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't live in the Northeast, tell them what Netto is.
It's like Aldi.
But?
But they shut about 5 years ago.
All right, but you've always... You like the
it's
memory
it's a nostalgia
of
thing. Yeah. It's like Toffos.
Netto, Toffo.
Hey, yeah. Do you remember Netto?
I remember Netto from about 2011.
Do you remember those weird trolleys they had? Your brass hand would get stuck in the mechanism so you'd shit your pants.
Hey.
Listen, I've got some names for you this week because right. I'm fed up with being dictator to.
I do exactly the opposite of dictate to you, actually. I say, here is the choice of names, yeah, or you can be Ronnie Hot Dog.
Yeah, but there's an inherent sort of threat there, I think. It's kind of like pick one of these names... because I've made an effort to come up with them.
Do you know, I once went, Andy, I'm sorry, just remembering. I might have told you this before, but I once... have I told you about when I hurt my eye with a bit of grass?
And yes.
Yeah.
Unless that was someone else that told me that, because it sounds quite common.
Oh, OK, well, forget it then.
Right.
I won't tell you. I won't tell you. Well, I was filming Randall Knockkirk Deceased. I was.
And I South Africa.
And at some point, I bent down and just a long bit of grass. You know the ones that have the bits on the end that you can, like, throw?
Yeah.
And the stick. And is that grass? I don't know, hay or grass, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it really hurt my eye. So I went to accident and emergencies. And it was a Chinese nurse. And she said, what's happened? And I said, I hurt my eye with a bit of grass. And she said...
Bob's pointing to his eye with his finger as if it's a bit of grass at this point.
She said, glass? Oh. Right? And it's not a racist thing, it's what she said. Yeah. I said, no, we're not glass.
Right.
Grass. And then I thought, and I thought this would be easier. So I said, nettle, right? She said, metal? And I could see that I'd be like, anyway, isn't it amusing, like the, you know... the
cultural differences.
Yeah.
We're going to miss all that post-Brexit, aren't we?
No, it'll still remain.
Anyway, I've got four names for you, not three names for you to choose from.
Or I
or
can
you can be honky-tonk.
Honky-tonk.
Right, you can be Colonel Pipe Bomb.
Yeah, tempted.
I haven't got a backstory because I can't be arsed. Colonel Pipe Bomb, you can be the hidden chest.
Right.
Mysterious, eh?
The lost book.
Possibly a wrestler. The hidden chest.
The hidden chest, okay.
Or O'Leary and Sons, a family concern.
Scrap dealers, is it?
Might be, if you want to be. Or you can be honky-tonk.
What was the first one?
First one was Colonel Pipe Bomb.
Do you know, for one day and one day only, I'm going to be Colonel Pipe Bomb.
Right, enjoy right. it.
Okay, now, I wasn't going to offer you any, but there's two. I'm just seeing you today. You're looking quite world weary, relaxed, resigned, you know.
Laid back.
A bit laid back. So I was
tits
thinking,
out.
Maybe you would like to be called Barry Homeowner.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's that relaxed feeling that you get from being a homeowner. Mortgage paid off or...
This is Barry. Is Barry a homeowner? Is something about him that makes me think he is.
It's the sweater over his shoulders, knotted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Barry Homeowner, or you could be, I'm thinking that this person, maybe, I don't know if he's Turkish or not, but I know he has a good fun, has a good laugh in his life, fun discos, Michael Jackson songs, and all that sort of stuff. Harry Sylvester. Do you like him?
I like them both, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for security, I'm going to go for Barry Homeowner.
Barry Homeowner.
Because I'm sick of renting the bungalow. I'd love to be a homeowner, Bob.
This is Barry, I'd say it's to Jeff. Jeff, this is Barry.
Barry, yeah.
Hi, I'm Barry. I'm a homeowner. I didn't know if you know own my own home.
Yeah.
Which
why are you mentioning that, Barry? That sounds like the kind of thing a prick would do.
You know, I didn't think at first. I thought, how am I going to manage these mortgage payments?
Yeah.
Especially with travel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I live 30 miles away from work now.
Yeah.
But actually, I have managed. I've been, because of course I've been staying in more. Because it's so lovely being a homeowner and having your own home to enjoy. I've been decorating, doing a bit of interior design. It's been terrific.
And an Englishman's home, after all, is its castle. I mean, it's a shame, you know, a lot of pubs are closing left, right and centre willy-nilly because people just don't go out as much. I think it's because people just want to stay in within their own environment.
Yeah.
And you know, just maybe have a bottle of wine.
Yeah, I mean, evening. I've had a few friends over from the office and we've always eaten lasagna. So I say...
Good big trevor.
I say, Gary, hey, Gary Kev, do you fancy coming over to my home that I own this evening to have some lasagna? You know, that kind of
thing.
That's
good, yeah. Well, that's me. That's me in a nutshell, Barry Homeowner.
When I think of you sat on your poof here, watching your little telly, drinking your lager and eating your chicken dippers and your buttered bread. Are you one of those northerners who has buttered bread with everything?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just have a spoonful of butter in between breads.
All right, so it's a buttery life you lead, yeah?
It is, yeah.
You've got a tack, right?
Yeah.
A tit accessory kit?
Yeah.
Tit apprehension?
It's accessory kit.
Accessory kit.
It's kit, like I said.
So
I have, because I went and bought my own, yeah.
That's your visual body, isn't it?
It is.
You look at your tits, you clean your tits, you wear your tits, you buff your tits, you heat your tits, you cool your tits, you protect your tits from frost.
Yes.
Just because you can see them.
But what is powering my tits, Bob?
What's powering your tits?
My heart.
Your heart? Is that what I'm
Look
trying to tell you?
At me tits. Is this the product of an unhealthy heart? Look at them. Have I got a... Hang on, I'll pull my shirt
off. What are you saying? Oh, Jesus, fucking wept. Andy, you think that those
Look
tits...
Look at them!
Those tits have got roots that go to your heart.
They're just in front of where my heart is, aren't they? So, obviously, they're powered by my heart.
Yeah, but does your heart want to be spending its time powering your high-maintenance tits?
Would my heart be upset by powering something as aesthetically gorgeous as this?
Yeah,
of course it wouldn't. If it didn't enjoy it, it would make them all wonky.
Oh, it's not trying to enjoy it. It's not trying to enjoy it. It's trying to do its frickin' job, isn't it? It's trying to do its job.
I didn't ask for these.
Yeah. You do realise that what this says is that take a look at your tits if you're a man, yeah?
Yeah.
Grab one of those tits, yeah?
Yeah.
And that will equal the amount of fat that is surrounding your heart at the moment, restricting it and restricting the vessels
who
around it.
Who says this?
I say this.
You just made this up.
No, I haven't made it up. I'm sorry.
Well, who said it originally? What's your source?
Well, all right, it's probably in the British Medical Journal, but I haven't actually got me with the fucking footnote here with me.
Probably fucking take a break or something. Can we re-establish your credentials as the memory man?
Yeah, of course
it's been over a month.
What, do you think I fear it? I don't fear it. The only thing I fear is the fucking Black Mamba.
We'll see. Puff. Memory man.
Yep.
Do you remember the name of the act that headlined the lactose intolerance stage on the Friday night of the Glastonbury Festival in 2004?
Just a minute. The
lactose intolerance. Oh, it might have been a tent. Sorry. Lactose intolerance.
Is this
tent.
A real thing, Andy?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be guessing here because I wasn't aware of it. So who headlined...
On the Friday night, 2004, Glastonbury, in the lactose intolerance tent.
Do I remember it?
Do you remember who it was?
No, I don't. I'm sorry, I can't say I do.
That's,
You're going to tell me?
That's disappointing.
You're going to tell me it was?
No.
All right, we'll move on.
Well, that's the end of the podcast then.
So...
That's it, we've got to stop now.
No, I'm not stopping.
Well, you've got to, because you've
crack
established your credentials.
Honestly, I'll crack off
myself.
Oh,
well, I'm fucking off then.
Hey, have you ever noticed? Andy, come back in. Shut the door. Come on, you're with me now. You're safe. Have you ever noticed when you go to swimming baths and you do back crawl? Have you ever noticed you invariably knock a child unconscious with your brass hand? And then you not noticed that?
Hey.
Oh, thank you.
Have you noticed... There's always one Tuesday every year when everyone goes apeshit for pancakes and you can't buy any lemon juice to loosen the hinge on your brass hand. Hello, you notice that?
That's the underwater aspect.
Oh, right.
Do you see? I'll do that again.
Comedy this
Have
week.
You noticed that?
Do you like it?
It's all right.
All right, it's Gangs of the EPL. So, it's not going back a bit now. I'm sorry because of the shoulder's been so long. So, I went in the Borough Man United.
I can't believe you've been off for a month with a shoulder, a fictional shoulder injury. Sorry, carry on.
So, I went in the Borough Man United game at Old Trafford. As usual, of course, I had my VIP tickets.
Yeah.
So, I went to Players' Lounge. Oh, it was a hell of a game as well. Good game. Went to Players'
Did you
Lounge.
Lose?
Yeah, but we were winning 1-0 till the 86th minute.
That'll look good in the league table at the end of the season when you get relegated. Yeah, is there a league table if we almost won?
It's not all about fucking league tables and winning and losing. I had a lovely day out at the football.
All right, tell us all about it.
So I went to Players' Lounge. I got a pint of IPA, yeah, some nice cold ham and peas pudding, and I went to camp down in one of the cubicles in the toilet because I'm going to mix with all the people up there.
Yeah.
Just as I was walking in, actually, I passed Aitor Karanka. He was just coming out. So I said, "Oh, Aitor," and he said, "Hello." So that was nice to have said hello to him. And then there was a cubicle that was I thought it was open. It was open, but I thought there was no one in there. But I pushed it open a little bit more, and there was, you know, Is that what's his second name?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic was in there. Now, Andy, what a sight! He had his pants down and everything.
Aye, obviously.
And he was stood up with one leg either side of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with his with his hands on his hips. Yeah, just stood over it having a tod.
Oh,
that's how he does it.
Really? So, yeah. No crouching.
No, just stood,
no bending.
Hands on hips.
Just bald expelling it.
Yeah.
As if he was waiting for a bus.
Waiting for the special bus. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, mate. Sorry, mate. You should have locked the door." So he goes, you know what he's like? He goes, "Zlatan, do not lock door."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah." I said, "Why not?" He says, "I don't know how to." So, but he didn't, you know, he was happy to admit
confident
it.
Enough to admit a toad standing up but can't lock a door.
So I shut the door for him and I take my seat, get tucked into my ham. And peas pudding. By the way, I'm not doing a motion. I just like the privacy.
Yeah.
Just get on with it and get some grub.
Well, you're a celebrity. You don't want to be bothered, do you?
Then someone comes in. I look over the top. It's Wade Rooney, yeah?
Yeah.
I look. See, he's dressed in like a very bright crimson-red jumper that has like a woolen 3D crab.
Yeah.
Like mainly claw. I'd say it was actually crab claw sticking out of each shoulder, a bit like epaulets, yeah?
Yeah.
And just sticking out, I notice it's for keeping wet wipes in.
Right.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you find that interesting?
Yes.
He's with Phil Jones and Mark Rashford, yeah?
Right.
They've got this same jumper on with the crab claws and the wet wipes, yeah?
Yeah.
Wade has got a little robot with him, yeah? Looks a bit like, do you know, like I was going to say Star Wars robot, Metal Mickey or something.
Just like a little Metal Mickey, yeah.
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 Yeah, a bit homemade on casters and
functional.
That. Remote control, functional, yeah.
Yeah.
And so this, I can't do Scouse. Can you do Scouse? Because you could do... Well, I can say Chechen.
Like I'll do Scouse.
Soup.
In the Mark Lawrenson style of things, I'll do Rooney's bits, if you like.
There's probably too much dialogue, but
I'll
do bits, see how you get on with it. Okay. So this is it, says Wade. This is Rudy Toody.
This is it. This is Rudy Toody.
Yeah, I don't like it.
All right,
and he'll give us an advantage against the Southern gangs.
That's Jimmy Carragher, that's not Scouse.
At Arsenal and Spurs, yeah?
Right.
It's technological and electric. And it's fucking cute to boot, which he had to agree with. It was cute.
Was it?
I love him, says Phil Jones. Can I take him home so we can strike up a friendship? Oh, do you remember Charlie Williams?
Yes.
He'd speak like that, didn't he?
Yes, and Charlton from Charlton and the Wheelies.
I'll tell you what, I'll say that Phil Jones talks like that, then, so I'll do that again. Oh, I love him, said Phil. Can I take him home so we can strike up a friendship? No, says Wade. Like, no.
No.
Colleen would go spare. She likes to sleep. He likes to sleep. She likes him to sleep with us in our bed, you know, during the dark section of the day.
Yeah.
Right? Just ask him anything you want, says Wayne. So Phil says, who was the best UK-based football team? And the robot says, Manchester United, of course. They have more money than most and a very large stadium. Manchester United's best player is Wayne Rooney. He is paid a very high wage and always gives 230%. Bang! At this point, Zlatan kicks open the door of his cubicle. Bang! You know, he does those eye kicks.
Yeah.
Smacks it open. Who dares say that I, Zlatan, am not the best player for United?
That's why he doesn't lock the fucker, isn't it?
Well, so
the
RD2D or whatever he's called, he says, it is a fact. Get used to it, big nose. So Zlatan boots the robot, smack, straight against the bog wall, and it's destroyed. You know how it does. You know, that, yeah, that kind of thing. And Zlatan says, now tell me, who is the best player in the United team? And they all say, you are, Zlatan. Right? Correct. And then he touches his toes with his nose. Yeah? And bends right over and he says, now, wipe Zlatan's arse.
Oh.
And they all go, yes, Zlatan. And they all take the little wet wipes.
Oh, that's what they're for.
Out of the crab claws and the shoulders and start working away at his anus.
Yeah. Gently.
Yeah. At this point, Andy.
Yes?
At this point, George Clark, you know, from Amazing Spaces.
Yeah.
He's been at the match. He comes out of another cubicle and he's saying, oh, that cubicle is an amazing space. Then he sees Zlatan bent down, so he gets down to have a look at his anus and that. And he says, wow, that's an amazing space. You could get two bedrooms and a playroom up there. It's amazing. And that's the end of me, Gangs of the Premier League.
I've got some Dragon's Den style ideas of
all right.
Businesses.
You want
like
to run them past
to
me?
You try and fleece you out of some money if I possibly can.
Okay. Well, it's a bad start to your pitch, saying you're going to fleece me.
Was that a bit too honest, do you think?
But still, if the idea is solid.
Right. Well, the first one I've got is the portable backpack allotment.
Portable backpack allotment.
It's for people who are short of time and space.
Yeah.
But high on energy.
Yeah.
And it's like a backpack thing, and you can plant your seeds in it.
Yeah.
And what you do is you kind of walk at a stoop.
Right.
So that it keeps it flat, because obviously if you're walking just with it as a backpack, all the stuff would fall out, the soil, the seeds, all of that would fall out. So you've got to walk stoop forwards.
Yeah.
But I've done some research, and it looks as though...
Oh, well, if you've done research.
Yeah, I have. It looks as though that can be good for your health and nutritionally... and well-being and the community.
I wonder if that... Can you think of an occupation that has to be stooped all the time? Someone who's involved with tunnels or laying pipes or something?
I think a tunnel walker.
The tunnel walker.
Tunnel walkers, yeah. Sewage.
Well, Andy, I quite like the idea.
It is fully formed.
Why could it not just have a big opening and you don't have to stoop?
A big opening?
You know, the top of it's open.
Right.
And it's got straps.
You get a bigger surface area when it's stooped because it covers... Imagine a backpack that you'd wear on your back.
Yeah.
The surface area of the front of the backpack.
Right. Whereas
if it was just like, you know, the top bit, a couple of plants coming out the top, that wouldn't be as productive.
I don't know.
As fun.
I think if you, like, do you know those sort of bins that always make me laugh so much because they're just like dustbins, but they have them in offices and living rooms and that. They look like the old dustbin.
Oh, the old metal ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such good fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you got one of them, about 2 foot,
right.
Yeah, straps on it.
Yeah.
You could probably put three potatoes in, potato plants in there, and you'd get a crop of...
I'm seeing the surface area you've got for crops.
I'm out.
Oh. All right, I've got a couple of others. Christmas tree cage fighting experience, dear.
Tell me more.
You know, the octagon where they do the cage fighting. You basically go somewhere, an industrial unit on the edge of town.
Yeah.
You get in the octagon with a Christmas tree
Yeah.
And you just kick the shit out of it for 10 minutes.
So you fight the Christmas tree.
You fight the Christmas tree.
I'm out.
Well, hang on, it's good for recycling Christmas trees. Very big in January. Recycling the community well-being.
Yeah. I'm worried that it's just such a seasonal product.
A lot of aggression these days.
I'm sorry, no, I'm out.
Right.
I value that company at one puffy tod.
Right, next one. You know Tinder?
Is that where you look for a company?
Yeah. They're like that, but for people with nosebleeds.
So I want to find out if someone nearby has got a nosebleed.
Yeah, if you've got a nosebleed and someone nearby has. If you suffer from chronic nosebleeds, you know, you want to be around your own kind, don't you?
Okay. And then you just mutually support each other.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it's open to abuse, people using it who haven't really got a nosebleed.
What, to try and get online sex?
Well, to try and get some online nosebleed action. I don't suppose it's going to necessarily lead to sex.
Put that as a maybe,
yeah.
And then I've just got a self-help programme, which I'm calling Shitting for Victory.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
You can put me down as, like, a supporter of it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like a crowdfund thing, I'll put you down as an associate director.
I'll put you as a director
of the business, yeah?
No, I'll get
you to sign something at the end of this.
All right, Andy, yeah.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steve McLaren update, interested?
Yes, please.
It's a really quick one, I promise. You remember we last left him in a hotel with a fat lass?
Yep.
Yeah, badly injured in the box edge.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. Not honest, I do.
A month on, Steve and Casper the Snake have moved into a new apartment in Derby. Yeah. Secret location, I know where it is. I can't say where it is behind John Lewis's. Pass it on. And so he's in a secret place so the big lass doesn't come knocking. You know, Stephen! Don't want any of that. So, of course, a new home and a new club means new carpets.
Obviously.
And Steve McLaren loves carpets and carpeting. So the first weeks of January, him and Casper were going from carpet shop to carpet shop, getting samples, asking carpet questions. You know, just fucking living the carpet life dream, you know?
Like BG and the Bear.
You've got the wad. You have any carpet you want. You know, you're not...
Soulmates and carpets.
Yeah. So they went into carpet, right? I call it carpet tick, yeah? Because it says carpet tick. And the manager recognises him. He says, "Hello, Mr. McLaren, a fellow carpet disciple, I do believe, if I'm not mistaken." He says, "No mistake made there, fine lad. I'm a touch tight with everything beholden to the carpet. Oh, Mr. McLaren, I think a small sample of curtain ties drifted onto the front of your head there." "Don't be daft. That's me hair island, you Rodney Plonker. There once was a manager had an interesting idea to make a kitchen carpet using doormats from IKEA. He bought them individually not to give the game away, but before the job was finished, he sadly went insane and grew a hair island. A hair island." "Oh, I like it very much," says the carpet man. "I'm John Puffin, by the way. How can I help you?" "Well, listen, John, I've moved into a new apartment and it's a blank canvas. I want something with a thick, dense pile, soft and forgiving underfoot, suitable for areas of large traffic. Probably in beige or oatmeal. You don't think your hall could..." You don't think your hall could take a pattern, maybe something a bit 70s retro on a polywool mix? "Polywool mix? What, do you think I am, a fucking anarchist? You'll be telling me to get laminate next, you buffoon." And just as he said that, he noticed that Casper, with his upper part of his body erect, was looking at the hardwood and laminate samples.
All right.
"Casper, get away from there. I don't want you getting involved with hard flooring." Right? Well, Casper turned his head,
but then just turned straight back to the laminates and started to lap his tongue against a little sample of that piney one. Old pine, darker pine than the modern pine.
Yeah.
Casper, I won't tell you again, come away. But Casper just held his ground, transfixed by the laminates and that.
All right.
All right, stay there, you plonker. See if I care. I've got carpet to order. You're not ruining my big day. So Steve looked at some beige samples, chose a nice hard-wearing, smooth wool pile. 10-year guarantee, Andy.
Mm.
You'd want that, wouldn't you, for hallway?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So he sat at Mr. Puffin's desk. You know, you have to do that bit where you sign fucking all this stuff. He's about to sign off on the deal. So how's it going at Derby, says Mr. Puffin. Oh, it's quick in and out job, says... What did I call it before?
Destroy an exit.
Destroy an exit job, you know. I'm just bloodsucking, really. But I will leave the stadium fully carpeted. Do you know, Mr. Puffin, it will have more carpet than the San Siro. That's always been a dream of mine. Suddenly, Casper's head appears over the side of the desk and his neck is swollen to about the size of a rugby ball. Yeah? And he's looking at the agreement, which isn't signed yet, for the carpet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah? Bang! He sends a swift pipe of spew into Mr. Puffin's face and then all over the keyboard and the paperwork.
Right.
Fresh spew all over. It's all ruined. Get out of carpet, Tick, shouts Mr. Puffin, and take that fucking disgusting snake with you. So they leave, and on the way home, Steve makes Casper sit in the back of the Octavia. Steve is furious. But, Andy, is that a little grin I see on Casper's face?
Yes.
Could well be.
Right.
He's scuppered the plans for car. I think what we're looking at here is start of a plan by Casper to get this new these new premises hardwood laminate flooring. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm sensing.
Is that what you reckon?
Did you think that was a bit like Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino, but with Mr. Puffin playing the Al Pacino character?
No, I thought Dog Day Afternoon was quite tightly plotted and good film, really.
You didn't think much to that then?
No, I thought it meandered. That Gangs of the EPL thing that you do,
yeah.
It's cute and everything, but I suspect that some of it's made up. Whereas with the secret soccer superstar that we have as an occasional guest on the show, he's definitely real.
Well, I know that. I tell you what, Andy, it isn't made up.
Are you sure?
It isn't made up, honestly.
Right. Well, the secret soccer superstar doesn't make his stuff up either, and he's never mentioned the gang yet.
I never said he did.
All right. Well, he's here again this week talking
about... OK, let's have a listen.
See what he's got to say.
Lots of footballers make a bit of extra money by doing sponsorship stuff for big companies. The bonus cash you get can mean the difference between just driving a car or upgrading to something better, like a van. I used to have a deal with me local barber. If I hung round his barber shop every Wednesday afternoon, signing autographs and giving out dribbling tips, I'd get 6 free haircuts every calendar year. I almost got another deal with a hat company at the same time, but it would have clashed with the barber deal, so I had to turn it down. I was gutted. One of my best footballer mates has got a deal with a top, top high street chemist. You know the one I mean. He puts a sticker with their logo on it in the back window of his car, and now he gets 50% off all his tablets, and they send him blobs through the post in unmarked packaging and everything.
Mm.
Well,
there we go.
The murky world of sponsorship.
Disguised as ever. We still don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Top, top player, though.
Is it Jimmy Husband?
No.
Oh, OK. Have you ever noticed?
Right.
Have you ever noticed? Have you, though? Have you noticed? You've only got 1% battery left. Whenever you phone up Pearson's to order brass hand wax, and they play a message saying you're on hold and you're ninth in the queue for brass hand oil. Have you ever noticed
Hey!
The history of the island is rife with tales of strangers making it from the mainland and visiting its shores and meeting their untimely death. The last recorded instance of a mainlander visiting the island shores was in 1976, and this is the tale of what unfolded. Young Gavin McNeill was a trainee reporter for the West Island Express, a community newspaper for Mallaig, Moray, Lochaloit, Glenfinnan, Knockyart and the smaller isles. He had particular responsibility for local and national sport. One day, while strolling on the coast at Mallaig, eating an oat cake with a drink of powdered marvel milk dissolved in warm water, he came across a small green bottle washed up on the shore. Catching his attention, he found inside a handwritten note, which read as follows. To whomsoever shall receive this note, my name is young Walter Bannon. I am a 16-year-old, and I live on the island that can be found using the coordinates below. I am not allowed to leave the island. It is my belief that I am the greatest young footballing talent to have emerged from the west of Scotland since the great Willie Bald. You can find me every day practising my skills down at Wilbrook's Common, above Bongo Cove, as marked on the map. Intrigued by what he had read, young Gavin chartered a small craft and headed for the island.
How do you think he's going to get on? He's making his way across the sea.
I'm assuming he'll end up dead.
Let's find out. As the mainland disappeared from his sight, his boat was suddenly surrounded by a strange red and grey fish that leaped around the boat, causing a whisper to be heard. Turn back, turn back, they seemed to say, but Gavin ignored their pleas, for they were just red and grey fish, and their conversation would not hold much quarter, e.g. at a ceremony or educational seminar. Arriving at the cove, he was surprised to see a young woman resting on a rock. She wore a tight sage nylon blouse, and it was plain to see had plenty of surplus unused and additional supplementary folds around her midriff to provide for grip and comfort when on board. His personal pipe stiffened slightly, but instantly relaxed as she spoke. I am the gatekeeper allocated to this cove. This is your first and last chance to leave without harm occurring. Turn away. But he ignored her advice, as she was just a lassie with unused tit and plentiful grip, and as such her advice would ne'er be taken as important, for example, in a bookmaker's or at an engineering conference. He followed the path upward, and from his vantage point could see a young boy playing football alone in the distance. For sure his skills were unworldly. He would kick the ball high upward to a perfect vertical and trap it on one knee before swivelling 360 degrees and burying it in the net. A line of five footballs were dispatched into the goal, with the young man using only the very tip of his heel to propel them. Gavin walked at a pace toward him. The boy juggled three footballs upon first his head and then by a combination of his shoulder and his personal pipe. As Gavin approached, he shouted, "Hey, young Willie, how do you do?" "I'm Gavin." But his words stopped there and sudden, for when the boy turned toward him, what Gavin gazed upon killed him in an instant. For Willie had the face that was a combination of Benedict Cumberbatch and Nicola Sturgeon.
The face of Benedict Sturgeon. The face of Benedict Sturgeon.
I'll do an alderman, and I'll announce as I do it, this is the last ever alderman, yeah? not doing him anymore. It's too private. Really.
I'm laughing at doing him.
So I went up to Stockton to see the alderman just after Christmas. He was having a garden party at his house, right? He's got a nice house, Edwardian thing, for the Dozy kids and the parents, you know.
Big garden.
It's a lovely garden, yeah.
Secluded areas?
It's detached.
Yeah.
But you can, at the back, you can see a few houses, a few other houses.
So I don't know why I'm laughing at that.
We got Billy the Pigeon in, do some magic, yeah. Biffy Clyro did some face painting,
yeah.
And then offered to do some of the kids' faces as well. Yeah. The vicar with the twitch, and is and a bad breath. He did some storytelling, right. Something about a biscuit that had a penis or something. Oh, weird story, mm-hmm. innit, for the kid. But they enjoyed it. The town clerk did a daft dance and gave a kicking display, you know, like a how to kick display. Anyway, halfway through this farce, the alderman came up to me and he said, "Robert, I've got something to show you, Robert. Come with me, Robert." I thought, "Hey, up, might get lucky here, Andy."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he takes me outside, points to a great big polythene tunnel, you know, like polythene tunnels.
A polytunnel, they call it.
Yeah, but this is big.
Man-sized.
Massive tunnel. And he's put up in his garden. He says, "What do you think, Robert?" I said, "It's very nice, Alderman. I mean, I'm no expert, but it looks like a good one, solid. It's really tunnel it, you know, a bit like E.T. or something like that."
Yeah.
"Just wait there, Robert. Wait till I beckon you, Robert."
Oh.
So he disappears.
Protocol.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll wait. So I hang around for about 5 minutes. A couple of kids wandered out at one point. I told them to fuck off. Do you know what I mean? He sassed me out there, me and the old man. I said, "Fuck off, will you?" And then I hear, "Robert, come inside now, Robert." So I get inside and I look through. There's a first area, and then it's got one of those curtains that you might have on Silent Witness or something.
Yeah.
You know, like the strips of...
Yeah.
A bit, you know, I used to have been council houses
forensic
when I was young.
Curtains.
But they were all brightly coloured.
Yeah.
Now they're thicker. Let's call them forensic curtains. Thank you.
I've got an album by them.
For the forensic curtains.
Yeah.
And I look through it, and there's row upon row of these plants with quite a long fruit growing.
Right.
Red fruit.
Yeah.
But long, like a courgette or cucumber or something like that.
For the listeners, Bob's holding his hands apart at a long distance.
And he says, "These are my little secret, Robert. Robert, they are genetically engineered cross between a cucumber and a tomato, Robert. I call them cumbatos, Robert. I sneaked the seeds back from Estonia, Robert, when I was at the apricot festival a few years back, Robert." Then I notice he's wearing, you know, those paper boiler suits like you get if you're in custody, mm-hmm. the police and that. And he hands one to me. He says, "Here, Robert, put this on, Robert. The humidity in here is terrifying. I don't want you to pass out, Robert." Well, it was fucking hot. So I stripped down to my undies, held out my hand for the boiler suit. He says, "No, Robert, remove your briefs. I don't want my cumbatos contaminated with Todd dust." So I took them off really slow, you know, to make sure they didn't close like a flurry of dust.
Yeah.
And I put the suit on. Well, fuck, God, it was hot in there. And you could feel the suit, like, clinging to your skin.
Yeah.
And the alderman tells me to pluck a cumbato, give it a try. This cross between a cucumber and tomato. So just as I'm picking it, I see these faces pressed up against the outside of the tunnel. They look a bit scary, a bit distorted because of all the condensation, but I can make out the town clerk,
right.
And I can make out Biffy,
because
some ink's dripping off his face in the condensation and that. Then it starts up, a bit muffled at first. "Kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, kiss the alderman, or just the alderman," to a crescendo. I think, well, and why not? I'm only human, aren't I?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Who wouldn't?
So I turn towards him and I see that his suit, his paper suit, is really drenched. It's more or less transparent, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can see all, like, the swirls of hair on his pot belly, and all the hair on his shoulders is all swirled and sticking to
clinging to the inside of the paper suit.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And there's a little rippers formed in his chest, and through that you can see the scar where he had his lungs seen to, you know what I mean? And he's covering his modesty because it's all see-through with one of the cumbatos, you know, which is nice of him. I don't want to be involved with that. So he grabs me around my waist and he rips my suit as he does so, and he starts licking at my cheek. Do you know, like a bit like a spiral motion?
Yeah.
Like a snake, he sort of just licked in circles. It was really rambunctious. It was really captivating. And then, bang, he clamps onto my mouth like a whelk. And I'm transported to Leeds, do you know what I mean? Or somewhere like Leeds. Somewhere incredibly romantic anyway.
Somewhere like Leeds.
Yeah, Northampton. Somewhere like that. A really romantic place. Then too quickly it's over and I'm hustled out of the tunnel. And as I'm getting dressed, Andy, I notice that the alderman's crying.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bothered by his crying.
Do you know why he was crying?
No, but it struck me as unusual.
It is a bit.
Yeah. So I'm afraid that's where we'll have to leave the alderman crying in his polytunnel.
It's kind of how I thought it would end up, really, from the very beginning.
Did you think, Andy, that that story was a bit like the film E.T., you know, with the tunnel and the paper suits?
Barely believable.
Right, I've got a song to finish us this week, and it's a little bit of a soft rock anthem.
OK, is there anything you want me to do to help?
If you could just wave your arms from side to side.
No, is that, well, you know I can't wave my hand because of my bad shoulder. Is that what you're trying to set me up for? Fucking injury.
Maybe it is, yeah. All right, well, just wave an imaginary lighter in the air. Or just your mobile phone or something. Whatever. Here we go. Son, I am your father, and I want you to evade the mistakes that I have made. I'm here to tell you what you have to do. So look into my eyes and listen to me too. Son, you're at the start of your life, an innocent boy with no trouble or strife. Let me lead the way, let me show you how. You'll thank me one day, and I'll tell it to you now. I would give it 10 minutes if I were you. Go watch the telly or maybe make a brew. Just hold it in a while, cause the stench in there is vile. I'd give you 10 minutes if I were you. I would give it 10 minutes if I were you. Just go and watch the telly or maybe make a brew. Just hold it in a while, cause the stench in there is vile. So I would give it 10 minutes if I were you.
That would be that would be done by the Eagles, maybe, or
Meatloaf. I'm thinking Meatloaf.
You're thinking Meatloaf.
Yeah, it's got that Jim Steinman kind of feel about it.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit. I don't know what to say about that because I couldn't help laughing, but I hated myself for laughing. So that's my comment on it.
Right.
All right.
It appealed to the basest part of
I
your
suppose.
Soul. Oh, well, there we are. And that's the end of the podcast. Join us again next week for more.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. See you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.